In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We are in the year of mercy, and mercy is extended to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. He is the mercy seat. He is the mercy Savior. He is the one that gives us mercy. And no one need to be apart from mercy, because Jesus gave his life for you, buried and rose from the dead. Mercy, how we need mercy. When we look at the Bible, how he gave mercy to the woman at the well. He said to her, if you only knew the gift that God has given you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Mercy to her. What about mercy to the woman who lost her son? Mercy to her. God wants us to experience mercy. Mercy, not judgment, but mercy. And this is the year of mercy. And that means mercy is being extended in a more beautiful way during this year. What we call a holy year, a year of mercy. So today, I tell you, mercy is yours. God wants to give you mercy. I'm looking at the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi. Remember the division, the vision that Paul had to come up to Macedonia or Philippi. After the days of unleavened bread, Paul is still Jewish. And came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days, 7 days in Troas. And upon the first day of the week, that is the Lord's day, huh? When the disciples came together to break bread, what does that mean? Eucharist. The first day of the week, Sunday, the day of the resurrection, to break bread, to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart the next day. He continued his preaching until midnight. Some people say Paul was boring. I don't think so. I think Paul had a heart that burned for people, and that he would speak the word of God untiringly to the people. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen to deep sleep. And as Paul was preaching long, he sunk down with sleep and fell down the third loft and was taken up dead. So Eutychus fell asleep and fell out the window. But you know what? It's not going to end there. Paul went down and fell on him, embraced him, and said, "Trouble yourselves not, for his life is in him." And when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, the Eucharist, and eaten and talked a long time, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man alive, and were not little comforted. They were filled with joy that Eutychus was alive. Imagine Paul preached all night. What burns in the heart is what comes out in the preaching. How we need to have preachers that not along, but burn and long to speak the word of God to people. Long to speak the word of God to people so that people would come to faith and people would be nourished and people would grow. Paul preached and preached and preached. He said, in season and out of season, to Timothy, no matter what, you must continue to preach, because the word of God, faith comes by the word of God. Hallelujah. Chapter 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church at Ephesus. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you, at the seasons. I have served the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews. The Jews always were after him, because he's proclaiming the crucified Jesus, the risen Jesus, and the Jews came after him many times. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable for you. In other words, he gave the whole thing. He preached the whole word of God. He held back nothing. But I have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Imagine, he went from house to house preaching, and he gathered people in a certain place to preach the word of God. This is Paul. Paul's heart burns with the word of God. Would that preachers' hearts would burn with the word of God. Oh, pray for me that my heart would burn with the word of God, that it would burn to speak the word, that it would burn to tell people of the experience of Jesus. I had someone come in off the street today, and he had come to me last week, and he told me, I prayed with him, and he has stopped drinking. And he came today and started to share with me. And he says, can I come back? Came right off the street. I tell you, I prayed with him again, and I prayed for the mercy of God would be so real in his life. The mercy of God would be so real in his life. We need to be open to people who come in off the street. This is beautiful. He had no appointment. What am I going to say? You had no appointment, come back another time? You can't do that. This man was needy, and he came and poured out his heart, and then I prayed with him. I prayed with him. I tell you, we need priests, ministers that not only will speak the word of God, but will pray with the people, will pray that God would do something. I went from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Who preaches repentance today? Paul preached repentance to the Ephesian elders. Yes, that we must be repentant, that we must turn away from our sin and make a 180-degree turn away. That's repentance. Who preaches repentance today? People preach miracles, and I'm all for miracles. People preach the gospel, but the gospel without repentance is not the gospel. Testifying both to Jews and also Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. In other words, I'm going to suffer in Jerusalem, but this is not what's moving me. I'm going to do it anyway, because this is what the Lord wants, so that I might finish my course with joy. Yes, he who started a work in you will continue to do it until the day of Christ Jesus. Yes, that was the reading of Sunday. So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of grace, the grace of God. I tell you, it is the gospel of grace. It is the gospel of grace, and it is the gospel of mercy. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the word of God, and he told them to repent and receive the Holy Spirit, and they received the Holy Spirit. I tell you, he brought them down to be baptized. He brought them down to be baptized. Yes, the gospel of grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about grace. It's all about grace. We as Catholics say, sola gratia, only grace, leading to faith, which leads to good works. We are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I know that you all among you whom I have preached to the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. This is the bishop saying, you're not going to see me anymore. You're not going to see me anymore. I'm going to continue to preach to you, but this is the last time, because you know what? I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And we know that happened in Rome. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of men. In other words, he never hurt anyone. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Yes, the whole counsel of God. Not only the good things, but the things of repentance. Yes, the whole counsel of God means miracles. Yes, it does. The whole counsel of God means repentance. Yes, it does. The whole gospel of God means the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Yes, it does. The whole gospel of God means deliverance from evil spirits. Yes, it does. The whole gospel of God was preached by Paul. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. To feed what? To feed him with the word of God. To feed him with the power of God. To feed him with the Holy Spirit of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Jesus purchased the church with his blood. He gave his life for us so that we would be saved and that we would give our life back to him. For I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. In other words, there are going to be people coming after I leave that are going to preach a gospel that is not the gospel, not the gospel of grace. They will preach another gospel, and they will be like grievous wolves entering in among you, not sparing the flock. That's why discernment is so necessary, to know what is real, to know what is real. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. You see, after the bishop is gone, even the people in their own church will be speaking things that are not true. What might be some of the things they will be preaching? Maybe circumcision. Maybe we're saved by our works. No, we are saved by grace through faith, which produces good works. Yes, that's what we're saved by. There's going to be people, they're going to try to convince you to follow another gospel. St. Paul warns the people, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He was there 3 years preaching the word of God, and yet he knows when he leaves other people are going to come in and preach the wrong word of God, preach something that is not the gospel of grace. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What does he commend them to? To God and to the word of his grace. This comes from the Old Testament as well as what Paul preached, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What is the inheritance? It is heaven, the inheritance of heaven. As we live the gospel of grace, we go to heaven when we die by the grace of the living God. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or clothes. Remember, St. Paul was a tent maker, and he raised his money by making tents, and he did not use money from the communities. He did ask money for Jerusalem, but he never asked money for himself. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, making tents, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that by laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord. Remember to support the weak. This is the job of the church, to support the weak. Not the most beautiful people that we need. We have to support them too. But to support those people that are weak, that are not standing firm in their faith. Support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed for you to give than to receive. Now, we don't see that in the gospel, but that's another word of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe that? Are you a giver? Are you a giver not only of your money and of your time? Are you a giver of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you witnessing to people about Jesus Christ? Are you witnessing? It is better to give than to receive. Yes, money too. We should be tithing our money. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept. Why? Because he's leaving. And they're not going to see him anymore. And they fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should not see his face anymore. And they accompanied him into the ship. I'm telling you, this is a real shepherd, a shepherd who preaches the word of God, a shepherd who is not ashamed of the gospel, a shepherd who knows the gospel of grace. This is a real shepherd. We need real shepherds, shepherds that will lay their life down for the sheep, just like Jesus, shepherds that will feed the sheep what they need. And I know so many people that used to be Catholic, and they found God in the Catholic Church, but they were never nourished and fed to grow up. They received a born-again experience, but they were never nourished to go further and to go further in the Scriptures and to learn and to give their lives to God. Yes, they gave their lives to God, but they was nothing else. People would stop preaching. That's all that they would do, is evangelize people. But there's more than evangelization. As Paul said, I commend you to the Word of God, to the Word of God that's able to save you, the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Paul commends them to God and to His Word. I have coveted no man's silver. In other words, you can't say that I've been looking for filthy lucre. I did it out of love. I preached the word of God in season and out of season. Chapter 21. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came to straight course to Coos. And the day following unto Rhodes, and thence to Patara. Verse 8. And the next day we that were in Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. That's Caesarea by the Mediterranean Sea. That's in Israel. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. Philip was an evangelist proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, which was one of seven and abode with him. In other words, he had seven daughters that abode with him. And at the same time, four daughters, virgins, that prophesied. So out of the seven children that he had, four daughters prophesied. I tell you, there was a lot of noise that night when Paul was in the house of Philip, the evangelist, because the daughters would be prophesying over Paul, telling him what they needed to do, telling him where he needed to go, telling him of the trials that he would meet. That same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, we came down from Judea, a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus says the Holy Spirit, So shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. We see this prophetic word would come true. This prophetic word would come through. Agabus was a prophet. Prophecy is not always nice things. It's to warn us of the things that are to come so that we would always embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace. And when we heard these things, both we and they that were at this place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. You're talking to the wall. When Paul feels he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to go to Jerusalem, even though things await him that he does not like. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready, not only bound only, but I'm ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul says, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to give my life as a martyr. I'm ready to do that. I'm going to Jerusalem. I know you people are prophesying that things bad are going to happen to me in Jerusalem, but I'm going anyway because I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. And if it's in Jerusalem, that's where I will give my life to him. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, The will of the Lord be done. In other words, God's will be done. Paul had his own experience. He wasn't going to do what he felt God wasn't calling him to do. That's just the way it is. And today I want to tell you several things. We live in the year of mercy. This is the year of mercy that the Lord is merciful to us. He is not looking to us to judge us. He is looking to us to fill us with the mercy of God. Do you know the mercy of God? It has nothing to do with torment. Torment is of the devil. Mercy comes through repentance. Paul preached repentance to his friends and to the elders of Ephesus. He preached repentance. I wonder how many of us preach repentance. This is an important thing, to preach the turning away from our sin and turning toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me also tell you that this Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, we are having the live nativity at Holy Rosary. I think we've done it 15 years now. You're welcome to come and to present yourself to the child Jesus, and we will be singing hymns, and we'll be singing Christmas carols. It's really what Christmas is all about. This is not jingle bells and I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. This is the experience of the birth of Jesus and the beautiful carols that tell us of Jesus. And these carols are perfectly theological. They tell us that Christ is born. They tell us that Christ is God at birth. They tell us that Christ would die on the cross. They tell us all these things. And we will sing the Christmas carols this Sunday between 3 and 4:30 at Holy Rosary. We will have live animals also. So I ask you to come and be part of this experience of love, that God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus would not perish, but have eternal life. Do you have eternal life today? Are you ready to give your life to Jesus? Is he your Lord and your Savior? Do you need him as much as you need the breath that you breathe? Well, pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give my life to you. Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, be my Lord and my Savior. I am desperate for you. Amen. love me with more love than I've ever had. Love me with more love than I've ever had. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for me that the word of God would burn in my heart, that I would proclaim the word like St. Paul. Paul would preach all night because he wanted his people to know that Jesus Christ gives us the gospel of grace. I also need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.